You know, your hearts are tender now. And the more often you put off that decision to come to the Lord Jesus, the harder it is going to be, and the more things will stand in your way. But don't let anyone, anything, stop you from coming to the Lord Jesus. So, who would like to give out the first song this morning? I'd like to begin with singing. Yes. Number 47. I'm glad you chose this song. It speaks about the precious jewels in this song, and I would like to speak a little about things this morning that are precious. Things that are precious. When He cometh, when He
cometh to make us His jewels, all His jewels, precious jewels, His loved and His own. Like the stars of the morning, His bright crown adorning, they shall shine in His beauty, bright gems for His crown. He will gather, He will gather the gems for His kingdom.
Start. Who's got another hymn this morning? Christelle.
Number five.
Oh, happy day that fixed my joy.
When Jesus washed my sins away. anything?
Well, I'm going to give another invitation for those of you who have just come in or who haven't responded to the early invitations. We do have a lot of seats for you children up front. I do have something to show you, and it's pretty small. And if you're up here, you're going to be able to see it better. Plus, I like to have company. Who else has a song? Okay? I'm going to ask Bethany, right? Which one?
42.
42? Okay. Number 42. A little child of seven or I stand at the door and knock, knock, knock. Okay, I think most of us know that song. Behold, behold, I stand at the door and knock, knock, knock. Behold,
behold, I stand at the door and knock, knock, knock. If any man hear my voice, if any man hear my voice, then
thank you. It's a good song. Okay, which 43. One door and only one, and yet it's sang two songs there that speak about the door. Yeah, the door to our hearts, don't we? That we've sang about. Have we opened it to the Lord Jesus? Has He come in and be our guest there? Well, I trust so. Because there is an inside and there is an outside. And there is the door to heaven, too, that we speak of. And that door is someday going to be shut. And what a sober and tragic thing to be found on the outside of that closed door. Who has another song this morning? Okay, I'm going to go down here. Which one would you like to sing? Number one? Okay. Would you like Almost Persuaded? Is that the one you were thinking? Okay. Sometimes the home number one is about Zacchaeus. I don't want you to be disappointed. We'll sing number one on our hymn sheet.
Almost persuaded now to believe. Almost persuaded Christ to receive. Sing thou some soul to
trust that each one here is not just almost persuaded, but altogether persuaded to come to the Lord Jesus. I saw another hand over here. Stephanie, which one? 29. Okay. Number 29. A ruler once came to Jesus by night to ask him the way of salvation and life. Another hand here. I have a hard time passing up someone that wants to sing. Number 6? 46. Okay. Number 46. I guess I don't want a camel ride. You know, but it was too late. Brandon had already made the choice, and he decided that was what he wanted. And when he found out that it really wasn't worth the money that he had to spend, it was too late. And you know, there are precious things in this that we want to talk about this morning, and maybe few of them aren't so precious right now. But you know, I hope that in your hearts, what is precious to God is precious to you. And Lord willing, we'll talk a little bit more about that. But you know, we had a little experience in our family this summer I'd like to share with you, and it kind of helps me to understand what we want to talk about. You know, there's something in the Bible that's mentioned that it's of not much value. Not much value. You know, some things that don't have much value, sometimes people give them away. I think Brother Nicolette has noticed this. That sometimes you'll see, you know, pennies and nickels laying on the road, and people don't consider that they have any value, so they just leave them there. So sometimes people give away things that aren't free and that aren't of much value. They'll give them away for free. I remember one time when I was a teenager, I had a job at a place that sold campers, and my job was to keep the campers clean and washed and so on. And one day I was working out on the lot, and a girl came down the sidewalk with a box of stuffed animals. You know, and she said, she didn't speak English very well, but she made me understand that if I bought one stuffed animal, it would cost me $1. And if I bought three of them, I could get them for $2. So I was going to get one free, wasn't I, if I spent $3. So I thought that was the best deal, and I got three stuffed animals for $2. I was a little embarrassed when I tried to sneak them to my car, but my friends that I work with saw me carrying these stuffed animals. You bought one of those? Oh, I bought three of them, didn't I? Well, it didn't. They weren't very valuable, but I got one for free. And you know, it speaks of something like that in the Bible. If you have a Bible, open to Matthew. If you don't have a Bible, just listen to what I read to you. Matthew chapter 10, I believe it is. Let's see. Matthew chapter 10 and verse 29 says this: Are not two sparrows sold for a farthing? Are not two sparrows sold for a farthing? And in my Bible, it tells me that a farthing is about a tenth of a Roman penny. I don't know how much a Roman penny was worth, but probably not very much. And a tenth of that would be a very small amount. So if you wanted to buy a sparrow, you could get two sparrows for one farthing. Okay, who's good at math here this morning? Okay, you got a good one at math. Okay, if you could buy two sparrows for one farthing, how much would four sparrows cost you? That's kind of hard. How much?
Two
farthings. That's right. You are good at math. Two sparrows for one farthing. You should be able to get four sparrows for two farthings, right? Does that sound right to you? Well, now turn over to Luke's Gospel. In the 10th chapter, Luke, in the 12th chapter, Luke's Gospel, chapter 12, says in verse 6, Luke chapter 12 and verse 6, Are not five sparrows sold for two farthings? So it looks like this was one of those opportunities that if you bought four sparrows, you could get one free. Does that sound like the way it adds up here? It says five sparrows are sold for two farthings, and our friend here, what's your name? Sarah, thank you for helping us. She said that if you bought four, it would cost you two. Looks like perhaps that if you bought four, they would throw an extra one in for free. So that doesn't sound like the sparrows were worth a whole lot, does it? Well, you know, I would agree that sparrows are not very valuable. In fact, where I live in Iowa, We have some grass that has to be kept mowed, so there's a tractor there to mow the grass. And you know, when I go out to get on the tractor to mow the grass, sometimes I'm pretty disgusted with the sparrows because they like to perch on the steering wheel, and it kind of makes a mess of things when I have to go steer that tractor. But the other few weeks ago, I was out there tinkering with that tractor a little bit, trying to get it to run, and I heard a little noise. And if we were to ask our brother Monk over here to make the noise that I heard, I know he could do it. Do you think we should ask him? Maybe. Yeah. It was something like that, but you know, it wasn't quite that pretty. It wasn't quite that loud either. It was more of a little peep, 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 peep. Oh dear, I hear some noise, some birds. They were little birds. And where was that noise coming from? It's coming from right inside the tractor. Right up front, in front of the radiator, if you know where the radiator is. And you know, I could hear it, but I couldn't see them. Oh dear, what am I going to do? I bet they're sparrows. They're not worth anything. What would you want to do with those sparrows? I had to use the tractor, you know. I thought, well, if we let those sparrows grow up, it's going to be a long time. So what I did was got my tools out and took the front of that tractor off, and there were the sparrows in their little nest. And you know, they were the ugliest little birds that you've ever seen. Perhaps they were one day old, or maybe two. They didn't have any feathers. Their eyes were shut. They were not even open yet. They had little bulging up eyes and fat little tummies and skinny little wings and great big mouths, and they opened their mouths so wide when they sensed that I was there. They were hungry, you know. Well, my heart kind of went out to those worthless sparrows, and you know, by the time I gathered them up, they'd kind of fallen here and there. Some were in my toolbox and some were on the tractor, and I got them all and put them in my hand, and I brought them in, and you know, my daughters were interested in taking care of those sparrows, and they did that. Well, I told you I had something to show you. Perhaps I should have shown you this a little earlier, but this is something that we picked up on the way out here. What do you think that is? You know what that is? See that? What do you think that is? See that? You probably know what that is, don't you? A nest. Yeah, Bethany says a nest. And that is. Does everybody see that? This is a little nest. I don't know what kind of bird's nest this is, but we found it in the Teton Mountains. I don't really know what kind of nest it is. But it's kind of like a sparrow's nest. This is a nest from a really small bird. Maybe if somebody knows a little bit about birds, a hummingbird. It's very possible, because even that sparrow's nest that we had was a lot bigger than this nest. And hummingbird is about the smallest bird, isn't it? But do you think this bird that was in this nest was very valuable? You want to see that nest? It's nice and soft, isn't it? Want to feel it? I don't know what it's made out of. It looks like almost a cotton or something. Well, these little birds aren't very valuable, are they? But there they were, five little sparrows. If you want to take a look at the nest, you're welcome to do that after Sunday school. But you know, those birds became loved and cared for over the course of the next 2 weeks. Those birds were fed and fed and fed and fed and taken and cared for, and you know, it kind of became attached to those little sparrows. And after about 2 weeks, they were ready to fly. You know, off they went. And you know, it was kind of a happy thing. Kind of a happy thing when those little sparrows took off and flew away. And you know, the next day, after one of them had taken off, I was out there working outside, and here comes a little sparrow. He came and landed next to me, and my daughter was able to come out and capture him and get reacquainted, and then off he flew again. So it was kind of a joy to my heart, you know. But the Lord Jesus, do you think he cares about sparrows? Think he cares about them? Are they valuable to the Lord Jesus? Well, if we turn back there to Luke's Gospel, where we were reading in verse 6, we read, "Are not five sparrows sold for 2 farthings? The rest of that verse says, "And not one of them is forgotten before God. Not one of them is forgotten before God." Isn't that something? That God cares. God has a value that he places on that little sparrow. Well, let's read on, though. It says, But, even the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear not, therefore. Ye are of more value than many sparrows. Ye are of more value than many sparrows. And the Lord Jesus loves you far more than he cares for you than those little sparrows. You know, there was one sparrow that I didn't tell you much about. He was affectionately named Crumb because he was little. He was littler than all the others. And you know, Crumb didn't get as much to eat as the others. He wasn't quite so forceful when it came feeding time, and didn't seem like he had a lot of appetite, but we tried to get him to eat as best we could. And you know, one morning about 3:30 in the morning, it was feeding time, and don't think that Dad was a super dad, just that he would get up at 3:30 just to feed the sparrows, but I couldn't sleep because they were making too much noise. The only way to keep them quiet would be to feed them. So there I was feeding them. And little Crumb, you know, he didn't eat that time. He didn't eat. And when I got up to go to work in the morning a few hours later, little Crumb had died. And there he was laying in the nest. And he had gone. And you know, I haven't told anybody this, but I'll tell you this morning, kids. You know, on the way to work that morning, I had tears in my eyes when I thought about that little sparrow. And not so much about the little sparrow, but when I thought about what that little sparrow might represent. You know, children, the Lord Jesus cares for you more than he cares for many sparrows. And if the Lord Jesus sees one of his little ones perish, oh, what a sad thing to his heart. What a sad thing to his heart to see one lost. He doesn't want to see any one of his little ones perish, you know. But there is a big problem, because how many of you, this would be a very hard question, how many of you memorized the verse last Lord's Day? A lot of you did, but does anybody remember what it was? I have a hard time remembering from one week to the other, but here is the verse from last week, and you'll probably remember when I say it. I believe it was last week. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. You remember that now? Yeah, that was found in Ezekiel. In the book of Ezekiel, I believe it was Ezekiel 18. Ezekiel chapter 18. I believe it was verse 20. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. That's our problem, because we are sinners. And the judgment pronounced in this chapter says, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. But you know, at the end of that chapter, verse 32, what does it say? What does it say in the end of that chapter? For I have no pleasure in the death of him that dieth, saith the Lord God. For I have no pleasure in the death of him that dieth, saith the Lord God. Wherefore, turn yourselves and live. That's what the Lord Jesus is pleading with you this morning, to turn yourselves and live. We talked about repentance last night. Rethink. And you know, the Lord Jesus doesn't want one of His little ones to perish. And so, He wanted to make a way that that wouldn't have to happen. But we were talking about precious things and things of value and what is valuable in our lives. But have you ever thought for a minute, what is valuable to God? What do you think is the most precious thing to God? Well, we talked about sparrows that have a value. And we talked about ourselves that are more valuable than many sparrows. I'd like to talk about something else that is of value to God for a minute. Let's turn to Matthew's Gospel, and there's many other places that we could turn to. But if we turn back to Matthew, I believe chapter 3 perhaps. Matthew chapter 3 in the last verse there. And verse 17, "And lo, a voice from heaven saying, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." In whom I am well pleased. You know, that wasn't the only time that God spoke of His Son as being one that He was well pleased in. You know, the Lord Jesus was the Son of God and such, so precious to God. You know, but we were precious to God too. And He didn't want to see us perish, to die like little crumb and pass into eternity apart from Him. You know, a little crumb doesn't have a soul that will live like we do, like you children have a soul that will live forever. So the death of somebody in their sins is a terrible thing, because it means separation from God forever. And so God had His only Son. And you know, in order for Him to show His love to you, He had to give that Son, that His only begotten Son, to die for us. You know, you might think, why would God do that? And I don't think we understand that. It says, for a good man, some would perhaps die for. But were we good? No. We were in our sins. But it says, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. God commendeth His love, or shows His love to us, even when we were sinners. And He sent His Son, His only begotten Son, to die in our place. And so He gave what was most precious to Him, to have you and to have me for His own. And you know, sometimes we have to make a choice between something over here and something over there, like we talked about Brandon. You know, Brandon had to choose between what was the most valuable to him. And you know, I enjoyed this thought this morning. Who do you think God loves the most? Does He love His Son the most? Or does He love you the most? You know, just to answer that question, I'd like to turn to John 17. The 17th chapter of John. Let's read verse 23. I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, that the world may know that thou hast sent me and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. And then verse 26, and I have declared unto them thy name, and will declare it, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them. You know, the love in God's heart is not divided anymore. It's not divided, because we are one with the Lord Jesus, and the affection that God has for His Son is the affection He has for us as His own. And He doesn't. He gave His only begotten Son so that He could have us as the outpouring and the object of His love. And the love that the Father has for His Son is the love that He has for you if you put your trust in that beloved sent one, the Lord Jesus. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So the Lord Jesus was given for you. Now, is He precious to you? You know, He's precious to God. Is He precious to your heart? Do you value what God values? Those little sparrows came to mind when I thought about how we are cared for by the Lord Jesus and by God the Father, and how He loves us and wants to bring us into blessing. You know, but it's a solemn thing to reject His love and to reject the Lord Jesus, or to neglect Him, because that is the same. Brother Stagg spoke to us last night about three strikes. And you know, as we were traveling here up the interstate, I was interested in seeing some signs along the road, and perhaps some of you have seen these signs. Signs are big signs, and the first one said, first warning. It said, 6% grade ahead. That was giving a warning that there was possible danger ahead, you know, but it said first warning. A little bit down the road it said, second warning, 6% grade. And that means there was a steep, steep hill coming up. And it could be trouble if you weren't prepared, or if the roads were in poor condition. You better listen to this warning, because there could be serious trouble. And then there was the third sign. What did it say? Third warning? No. Final warning. Final warning. 6% grade ahead. And you know, if you went by that sign, there was no turning back. It was too late. And you know, some of you are here for the first gospel meeting here on Saturday evening, on Friday evening. You received a warning. There was a warning given last night at the gospel meeting. There's a warning given this morning, an invitation to come, and a warning that if you don't come, you'll perish in your sins. Is it the final warning? Speaks of God speaking to us once, yea, twice, but man perceiveth it not. Listen to God's warning and value what God values. Put your trust in the Lord Jesus, and then the joy that you will find in being one of those precious jewels of the Lord Jesus. Let's just look to Him. Lord Jesus, we thank you.